Broadcasting from WKMJ FM Hancock.
To Keweenaw Bay, Greenland, Covington.
This is Mix 93, WKMJ.
The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now.
Bringing it in front, how they score! Right in between the hash marks.
Huskies win it back. Misiak in front, here's a score!
Everybody, it's a Michigan Tech hockey update here on July the 8th, and head coach Joe Schott is with us. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Oh, man, is it nice to see your smiling face again?
It's nice to see you too, Dirk.
And you know a lot about hockey, too.
Well, I know that I just got done enjoying watching. The only thing I wanted that Stanley Cup Final series to go on to watch more hockey.
I know.
And not know what's going on. But now it's time to start breaking it down and watching video of it, which we've been doing. But it's boy, what a fun time it was. I like this going into the summer. I wish they'd do it every year. Start the NHL a little later and bring it like right into the end of July, and then by that time we're ready to go.
You know, it's funny. More people are saying that. And the old way it used to be. Not that people were sick of hockey, but they're like, man, this is, you know, it's in the middle of June and we're still talking about hockey, but I love it. I think people like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's a year round sport.
Yeah. You go home at night and you're watching, you know, you're relaxing and you're watching hockey when it's not conventionally hockey time. And it's great. You know, our season, there's a gap there from what we're doing. The Stanley Cup started a little late. You know, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. Watched a ton of hockey, still watching a ton of hockey, and it's something you just, every day you get ramped up for the game you want to watch that night, at least one, and trying to stay up for the second game. But what a great playoff run it was for several teams. Montreal surprised everybody, barely making the playoffs and competing so hard. But, you know, you look at Tampa and they're just so, so powerful.
And did you see Kucherov's, post-game interview at all, or did you hear about it?
I didn't know.
Oh, he was, you know, he's saying that.
I watched Maroons, and they asked him what he's going to do now, and he said, the first thing I want to do, I want to get a haircut and shave my beard. He said, it's been 2 years. I want to get a haircut and shave my beard.
Well, he was saying that, he was calling out the Canadian fans, saying, what do they think they won the Stanley Cup when they won the game the other night and all stuff. So he was really, it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
But,
he'll be popular when he goes back into the.
Exactly.
Molson Center.
It was great to watch hockey. And, we're excited to talk about. We have so much to talk about today, coach, because we have a new old, assistant coach. We have, but tickets are on sale now for Michigan Tech hockey. We'll get more into that as we go. Cal just released it if you want to, check it out, or we'll be releasing it real soon. We'll talk about that and some of the options, cool new options that you have. And we'll have you answer some questions, too, coming in from our listeners at dj@themix93.com. But since the last time we talked to you, Joe, what's been going on behind the scenes there at Michigan Tech Hockey?
Our guys just left. June 23rd, I think, was the last day, the last workout day for Track A. And they busted their tails. They worked hard. And you know, some guys just really, really caught my attention. And I don't want to go into names but some guys really caught my attention in both the diligence, and the intentness that they showed during that time. I mean, we had guys there, you know, that I might go in the rink at 7 o'clock at night for something and we'd have a guy in there doing something and just unknown and quiet. In there, in the weight room or out there and asking somebody to leave pucks for them and they set it up and be able to go out and shoot some pucks and work on edges or something. So, I can't really say how excited I am. I can't express how excited I am for this group. There's going to be challenges, that we're going to face, mostly implicated by myself, by me. That I think is necessary moving forward in the culture and in the dynamic of the game today. But we'll work as best we can with them. And I think we have the relationship and the culture within the group to be able to handle that. But I'm really excited with where we're at. You know, I was talking this morning to Dan Farrell and, you know, he's a huge Tampa Bay fan and we were talking about the game and I was just saying how much, you know, player by player, you know, obviously no one has, you know, I think we have great goaltending, but who is Vasilevsky? He's on a, he's in a different world right now as far as a goaltender, but so much of the dynamic, you know, with some of the additions we made with adding Caro on defense and Quercia at forward and Bronte at forward with the guys that we have, the similarities, the capability of similarities we have with the competitiveness and skill level and things of a team like Tampa, the formulas really are very close in the dynamic. I mean, I think we got a guy, Bliss, who can really serve, Trent can really serve a Kucherov role, very similar in types of players, how they kind of play the game at their pace and everything runs through them to some degree. So I think there's a lot of dynamics that we have that I'm really excited about.
And you feel that I think we talked about this before, but you feel a lot of the holes that were there in the past have been kind of filled in right now.
They are, and everybody can play. There's not a guy in our room that we feel, especially of the veterans, that can't play. And our job is going to be, within the culture of it, to play at the pace and you know, empty the tank every day with an excitement and an energy level that allows us to grow and grow and grow. And we're not dependent. We'll be able to play through injuries and things like that, I think, with the depth that we have. So it's going to be an exciting year. We're going to really take our time with it and patience with it to allow these guys to really, they've earned it. You know, this senior class this year has earned the opportunity to make a run, and we've given them, I think, surrounded them with the athletes that fill the holes that allow them the best opportunity to leave Michigan Tech in an extremely positive way.
So as far as the guys for the rest of the summer, what is their schedule kind of related to hockey?
Well, many went home. Many went home and they'll continue their workouts and their skating, and many are here. Many left for a couple days or three, you know, whatever. But when I walked in the locker room, I took last week off and spent time with my family that came to town and things. All my kids got together. And when I went in the locker room on Tuesday morning, there were seven or eight guys in there that had just got done with a weight lift, with, you know, coming out of the weight room. So, smiles on their face. There's an excited nature. So, and Tyler told me, I guess 2 days ago that more and more guys are going to be filtering back here. So that's a great sign. We want these guys to see our communities. Some of these young guys haven't been able to do that in the summer with the quarantines and even do that during the year. They've been on lockdown basically for 2 years. Mm-hmm. The beauty of this area is the beauty of this area and the people and the outdoor opportunities and things that it presents, you know, the waterway, you know, everything that they can do, the golf course. And, when you got it going good, the guys want to be here. And right now it looks like the guys want to be here. So we're excited about that.
We're talking with head coach Joe Schott from the Michigan Tech hockey team. And we'll be talking about the tickets. Well, I guess we could talk a little bit about them now. Tickets are on sale now for Michigan Tech hockey. And I know you've been in contact with the central ticket office. From what we hear already, I mean, there is a genuine big time excitement to watch Michigan Tech hockey in person again.
Yeah, tickets went on sale yesterday. And I guess it was a very busy, crazy day at the ticket office. So that's exciting. We have a lot of work to do in regards to that. You know, I know I'm gonna put in a strong concerted effort with our entire group, our staff and our players to make sure that we do everything we can to help the Misfits reestablish. If that's even the right word to say, because they've never been gone, but there's, you know, you have freshmen and sophomore that are here that have never really experienced what Michigan Tech, what the environment is in that building. I mean, I just saw a chart of some kind that we're a top destination in college hockey.
Yeah, every year.
Yeah, but there was a chart out of the top draws, mm-hmm. the top places to enjoy the experience of college hockey, and Michigan Tech was colored, UP was colored on that map with our university. It was, those things are good to see. It's an incredible place to watch a game. There's no place better, to take in the excitement of a hockey game. I mean, there's places I'm sure that are comparable in their own way, but part of that atmosphere is the Misfits. Part of that atmosphere is the band. The band, I'm sure, in ways will help in any way we can, but will take care of itself. But the Misfits, you know, even if it's helping and getting people back here that were in it in the past, mm-hmm. to be at those first initial meetings and teach the chants and do the things, because that's such an integral part. You know, I don't know in my time here if I've been to a game on the road anywhere anywhere, Alaska, anywhere, and I think you'll vouch for this, that hasn't had Misfits in the crowd, that we haven't had a presence with the jerseys and the chants and the things like that. So we need to do everything we can to help them. If there's recruitment needed or things like that, hopefully in a lot of ways it'll take care of itself. But there are people that don't know and haven't seen, and going into their juniors and senior years, that haven't really seen what the what that organization brings as a member of our hockey program.
Well, you bring up a great point, though, how the freshmen and some of the sophomores that didn't play a whole lot in their freshman year maybe missed, you know, really miss out on that Michigan yeah. Tech home hockey experience. And that obviously is probably a great recruiting tool, obviously, during the year when you're bringing somebody in on a visit to see that building packed and the whole atmosphere.
It is.
And we missed out on that.
Yeah, and we have missed out on it because it's dynamic. It's dynamic when the guys go on the ice. The sight lines in the rink, the people being right on top of you, you couldn't rebuild that rink. Codes wouldn't allow you to rebuild that rink at the pitch level, at the stands are and things like that. They wouldn't meet codes. So you never want to do anything to that building. What it offers, the enhancements that are going on with expanding different areas are exciting as well. You know, the pavilion up there, mezzanine area is great. It's drawing a lot of attention. So, and I know there's plans to do some other things going forward to round it off a little bit. So, it's an incredible place to view a game. It'll make your hair stand up, when the excitement's at full capacity. So, and I think we have a team this year that's gonna really energize, the MAC.
I guess before we go any further, let's talk a little bit about the, season tickets that are, available now and some of the new twists, this year. First of all, if you had tickets, season tickets in the 1920 season, you again will have the option to, get those same seats again. Which is great. But one of the really cool things that they are doing this year, of course, they're having the early bird rate, Coach, which is from now until August 8th. Okay, and but what they're doing here is they're calling it the Rail 555, or the 555, which is the wins for John McGinnis. The Rail 555 will be a premium seating along the rail on the concourse inside the breakaway zone for only $481. The number 555, of course, references McGinnis's 555 wins as a Husky, and so I think a lot of people are going to be checking out that option. I think that's pretty neat that they're doing. But anyway, Cal just released the official release on the tickets that are on sale, and they're very excited, and they're already going like hotcakes. So if you are thinking of whether or not you want to get season tickets, I wouldn't wait too long. You can go to buyhuskiestickets.com or call 487-2073. For the details on that, but there's just, and it's not only that there wasn't hockey last year for people to watch necessarily, that's obviously a big part of it, but I think there's so much excitement about the revamped CCHA and, you know, just the teams that are involved in some of our, and our non-conference schedule.
Yeah, we have a very good non-conference schedule. We're going to start off at Wisconsin. I think we've talked about this before.
That's okay, though, yeah.
But we're going to start off at Wisconsin, I think, the 8th and 9th. We're still trying to lock down a game of some kind. They're allowing an exhibition game now that's non-viewed by attendance and things like that. We're trying to work something out with, I have been with Northern Michigan, to try to get something in that first weekend of some sort to get a game in before we go to Wisconsin. I think both of us have the availability to do that, and Grant seems to be receptive. There seems to be a little bit of a holdback in some ways administratively, possibly at Northern, but I would like to add that to our schedule. And I think they owe us a trip here, but however we work it out, we'll see if we can't get that game in. And then we go to Wisconsin. Then we have Notre Dame coming in here on a Friday night, and the development program. And I just want to add, Wisconsin is going to make the return trip here in, not the following year, but I believe the year after that. So that's really an emphasis that we've had, is trying to get top quality teams in our building. We'll make the trip to Clarkson then on a Halloween weekend. And then the following year, I believe it's St. Lawrence that will come back to us. We're working in a thing with, tried to do it with Northern. I think it would have been more a better deal to do it with Northern, but Lake Superior's involved in it, where we're going to, it's a 4-year rotation, and we'll go out there and play both Clarkson and St. Lawrence, because only 5 miles apart, the two cities. And then they'll come back here, and then next year it's going to be St. Lawrence. Then we go back out there and play each of those teams, and then the year after that, Clarkson comes in here. because it's just too far. If it was Northern, we could get both of them in on the same year.
Right. But same weekend.
On the same weekend, yeah, right. On the same weekend. But it's difficult to do that with Lake Superior being, you know, it's doable, but it's a little different, and they don't really want to do it in that regard. So that's how we'll be doing it and getting them in on a rotational plan. The GLI is going to occur this year. In the form, I don't really know, and that's an administrative, you know, I'm kind of on the, on need to know basis on that on that deal, but there's a lot of work going. I know that Suzanne's putting a lot of work into that. There's a commitment level. I understand that Michigan State's really involved in keeping it alive as well and keeping it going. It's the oldest college hockey tournament around. The dynamic of it may alter a little bit in some capacity. But more details will come out on that. But there will be a GLI this year in some form that'll keep that going. Because the other part that plays into that right now is the backlog at Little Caesars Arena and their commitment to bring in their main draws, which are their entertainment venues, you know, their concerts and things that got canceled, and to fit those all in and book those and get those on a calendar. So I know there's efforts being put in this year even to get back in there, but we'll see how that all plays out. But my understanding as of yesterday is that there will be a GLI in some capacity this year to keep it going, and then the details will be sorted out as needed to move forward.
In regard to that, and I know you're not right in on the decision making on this, but is there a timeline on this? Is it something we would know maybe in the next month, or is it going to be something right before the season as far as the Great Lakes Invitational, you think?
I don't know more details on that, and even if I did, and if it's not drilled in, to speculate isn't. We've avoided the whole thing coming up to now, but I was told yesterday that, which is extremely encouraging, that Michigan State is committed to it. They want it. Danton Cole, their athletic director, those people, and maybe I'm overstepping my boundaries by saying that, but Suzanne was very pleased that the cooperation, I'm giving my words now, the cooperation and enthusiasm that they showed towards keeping it alive and keeping it alive at the same time that it's been offered at. So the details of facilities and things like that, they want it to remain in some capacity. We want it to remain in some capacity. I should say Suzanne does at Little Caesars Arena because of the experience to the athletes, you know, the continuity, but overall, that's the goal is to find a method. Because as you know, when we go there every year, there's so much we're battling a 3-a-day offset, mm-hmm. with us playing in the championship game. The Constellations like at 11, championships at 2, and the Red Wings are playing that night.
Which is a great thing, but it does screw up your schedule.
But it seems to be a burden in some ways.
Absolutely.
For Little Caesars Arena.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And there's at least one team that doesn't want to play ever in an 11 o'clock game, and that team has influence on the dynamic of how it goes about now. So, you know, it's trying to keep it going in the fashion that it's been going. And get people on board with the commitment level to, okay, let's find the best way to make this work that's fair to everybody involved. And all I can say is Michigan State seems to be really progressive in working with Suzanne on that. So she's aggressive at it. She's, her heart's in it. So it'll work out in the best way possible going forward and probably be a moving dynamic in some way. Moving forward until it finally stabilizes into what it's going to actually evolve into.
And all three host teams, or, you know, the three teams that are in every year have such great fan bases. You know, and so many of their fan bases, maybe mostly Michigan Tech. I mean, you look at how many people are down there when we're down there, back in the Huskies. It's unbelievable. But all three teams have fans that really enjoy looking forward to that every year.
I said this yesterday in my meeting with Suzanne that, one thing that grabbed me was, you know, growing up in the CCHA and never having gone to the GLI, but always being aware of it and always watching it on television and things, because it was at a perfect time. Watch a football bowl game, watch a GLI, you know, get to see some of the other teams in college hockey. I've been a part of a lot of championship games, championship weekends at Joe Louis Arena over the years, where we'd play Michigan State or we'd play Michigan, and we would get good support at Lake Superior in doing that because of the hate between Michigan and Michigan State. So if we're in the championship game against Michigan, the Michigan State band was there the next year because there was a consolation game or whatever. Michigan State band was there playing with our band, playing our music, and the Michigan State fans were there voting against Michigan. Or vice versa, if we were playing Michigan State, the Michigan fans would be there supporting us and things like that. So that would really be a grow. But it was always, you know, at best, maybe 40-60. You know, for us. And that's with, you know, you turn out the lights in the Sioux as you're going down. You know, everybody, last person out, turn out the lights and we'll see you down there.
Yeah.
During championship years. But when I went down there as my first year, I mean, it was incredible. It's a Michigan Tech building when we go down there. I don't know why it is. I mean, listen to the roar I believe that clip that you play in the intro mm-hmm. to this show is us when we take the lead against Michigan in the championship game a couple years ago. The roar is incredible. Like, it's our crowd. It's 60-40, 70-30 us when we're down there. So, it's a big deal for Michigan Tech and the people, the administrators, Suzanne and company know that way more than I do. There's a passion that goes, way farther than mine because of the memories and what it means to Michigan Tech. So every effort's going to be made to enhance that product.
All right. We'll take a break. Be back with more. Your questions coming up a little bit later on in the hour. We'll talk about assistant coaches when we come back. It's all part of a Michigan Tech hockey update with head coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The email address, dj@themix93.com. Welcome back to a Michigan Tech hockey update here on Mix 93 WKMJ with head coach Joe Sean. And happy to have everybody with us here today. We're happy to have coach with us. And let's talk a little bit about assistant coaches. We just heard Tyler Shalast being promoted up to assistant coach, and Dallas Stewart, who was with us for 4 years, has taken another position outside of the university. And you know, what can you tell people about that, coach?
Well, I think it's a great move for everyone involved. Dallas got a great opportunity to take a position at a Christian academy that he spent you know, a lot of time with. He has friends that run the program, and it's in Minnesota, I believe, in Alexandria, Minnesota, and they run, I don't know how deep it goes, but into a midget level, I know, a developmental midget level of AAA type hockey. And it really gave him an opportunity to combine his passions, which are his, you know, his faith and his ability to mentor and impact young men. So he was able to get an opportunity to do that in Alexandria, and he's a great man, great family, and you know, I think it's the perfect fit for Dallas to have that chance to go to work every day and not be a job, you know what I mean, to be pursuing your main passions in life. So I'm very happy for him for that opportunity, and that opened up a chance for us to get not new blood, but to give, I guess, reward Tyler for his efforts within our program. He's, you know, his passion is beyond his passion, his excitement, his you know, his exuberance, the energy level he brings goes beyond you know, what anybody else could bring to our program. He loves Michigan Tech. He loves the area. He loves the program. He loves the players. He's got a trust level with the players. Would I find out again, as with Suzanne, and I like it this way, is on a need to know basis with Tyler when players go to him with, you know, deals and concerns and things. And then when he feels that he needs to bring it to me, he would bring it to me, because when you spend that much time as he does in the weight room doing nothing more than trying to make an athlete better, there's a trust level there. Hmm. You know, there's a communication, a daily communication that they feel you earnestly have my of everybody here, you earnestly have my well-being at heart. That's the dynamic that I want Tyler to maintain. So he'll still be running our weight room and still be running our conditioning level. He does such an incredible job at that. We'll feel that out the first year and see how recruiting impacts that and make sure that we don't have a drop off in that area and see how things go. But, that's an area he needs to have that face time and that drive and that passion for him. Just like we just talked about Dally Chase and his passion, anybody that looks at Tyler and talks to Tyler sees, you know, he's kind of wired a little different than most individuals.
He's intense is the word I like to use.
Yeah, and he brings that to every day he comes to work. And I don't want to lose that. We have to have that. Now, what he will offer to our program, which I think is vitally needed, is a drive to get us back into that Western Canada market. And I've talked about it often. I think that within our program, if we think we're going to out-recruit, you know, the perceived, there's a perception within the United States, a hierarchy, a status, perceived, non-perceived, whatever it is, of where if you're this caliber of player, you go to one of these schools. That's obvious. The goal is to try to get yourself into being one of those schools, which takes a long time and a lot of effort to do. And still, there's teams you're never going to recruit. There's leagues you're always going to battle with in recruiting. And you know what I'm saying. So to think that we're going to be in the pecking order and out recruit Duluth and St. Cloud and Minnesota and Mankato in Minnesota is ludicrous. So you're already going to a different level. You have to have an in like we do with some players. You have to have an in with some top players in Minnesota to be able to have access to those players. So we really can't be putting all of our eggs in the United States basket. You know, you get out east and you're recruiting out east and you got BU and Harvard and UMass and there's a hierarchy. But what we can do is we can compete in the Canadian market with those teams and we can compete in the European market with those teams. And so, you know, Tyler has an enthusiastic passion and connections in British Columbia to go along with those that we have to get us back in hard into British Columbia and hard into Alberta, which starts young. You can't just go out there and do that. It starts young and you have to, and that passion in there, that passion is needed to want to go out there, to want to get back into the rinks that you grew up in, to want to give those people in your area a chance, you know, at a life and at a degree and things like that. So Tyler will bring us that, get us back out into Western Canada, which is vitally important to us. We've gone out there, we've been after it, but we got to get back into landing, you know, some Shane Hannas and players such as that. Petey Patan was a great player for us. Those players, we need to get back into landing a couple of those, and that'll give us those one or two guys to, you know, that help keep us over the top.
So what bridges the gap there? Is it, the recruit that you're looking at? Is it, if they don't really aren't familiar so much with Tyler's name, but just the fact that they find out that he's from Western Canada and knows the area, does that immediately give them that connection?
Signed an NHL contract.
Yeah.
You know, did, you know, blah, 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 was the leading goal scorer in the GLI all time, you know, mm-hmm. has the most goals ever for a player in the GLI. There's, and the people he knows there.
Right.
The people he knows there will help. So between the people that I know and the people that he knows, it'll get us in conversations. And again, the biggest thing is, you know, there's a couple things. I talked about Hannah, I talked about Patan, I talked about Gillies, there's others from out there. Those guys were recruited in the old WCHA coming in and knowing that they're going to play and compete against the North Dakotas and be in the same conversation. Since the new league, we haven't landed one of those guys. So we need to get those ins are what's important. You know, like we mentioned, everybody knows we have a couple of individuals from Minnesota coming in and, you know, those, we don't get access to those players unless there's a connection and there's a connection there. You have to have a connection in areas to get, you know, you can't just go in blind mm-hmm. when you've got agents and things like that working, trying to feed kids to different programs that are going to, they hope, give immediate impact. I mean, you look at Michigan. Mel wasn't getting 6-7 first-round draft picks at Michigan Tech. You know what I mean? He goes to Michigan, and they're getting those first round draft picks. They had five this year. I think they're going in the first round. They have three more that are listed coming in going in the first round. I mean, you shouldn't be able to beat that team. You know what I'm saying? In reality, you look at the first round picks, you shouldn't be able to get on the ice with that team. That's Michigan with a British Columbia connection and with, the connection of people wanting them to go to a big program. You have to somehow offset that. And that's just one school. You have to offset, you know, those connections that you have. I'll give you an example. You got Scott Bork, who's in Merrimack now. Scott Bork is really tight with a big agent in British Columbia. So Merrimack out recruits us for a guy, Ben Brar, and for, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's that you have to establish, and you have to have an inside on that. And Tyler gives us that inside in that region. And so we'll go from there.
Very good. Well, speaking of Tyler, we'll get him on the phone here in just a moment, get his thoughts on his new position at Michigan Tech Hockey, and then we'll get to your questions coming up real soon, too. It's a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with head coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Welcome back. A Michigan Tech Hockey Update here on Mix 93 WKMJ with head coach Joe Sean is with us. And by phone, we have a newly appointed assistant coach for Michigan Tech Hockey, Tyler Schlatz. Good morning, Tyler. How are you?
Good, Dirk. Doing well. Thank you.
Well, congratulations again on your new position. Very excited. I would imagine everybody in your family is pretty excited. I mean, they already were pumped up on what you had at Michigan Tech as far as your strength and conditioning and all that position. But this has got to be pretty cool for you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, I guess kind of a slower development in terms of, you know, just kind of learning the craft and obviously getting to this situation. But, you know, I'm really excited. My wife and I are really happy. We obviously love the area and, you know, being able to take the next step with Michigan Tech and, you know, be involved in Michigan Tech hockey that's great to me.
You've been a part of the program for a long time, Tyler, and I would imagine there's quite a few things that, you know, watching these other great assistant coaches that we have had and do have at Michigan Tech right now, you're able to really see what works and what doesn't work. And I would imagine you got a lot of tips and ideas from watching these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of have to, you know, be a little bit of a student. You know, going down from, you know, Joe, Chris, you know, all the way through to, say, even Billy McCall, like, you know, you kind of watch and see how these assistants and even heads conduct themselves, like how they run drills, you know, how they study the game, how they watch film, and obviously how they interact with players. So, you know, as soon as I kind of got on campus when I was finished with hockey, that was kind of one of the, you know, bigger things that I started to focus on, was just looking at, you know, how are these coaches interacting and trying to build off those details. And, you know, ultimately that led to my growth here at Michigan Tech.
Well, Coach was talking about the maybe different relationship you would have as a strength and conditioning coach with a player to what an assistant coach or a head coach has with a player. And so the fact that you have worked with so many of these guys intimately with their weight training and conditioning and whatnot, there's got to be a special bond there.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, obviously if you're, say, a strength coach, you're a little bit more, I guess, off the record with them. They kind of come to you with maybe different information that they might not be able to, you know, bring to a coach, or they kind of ask for direction if they're going to go contact a coach. And obviously being assistant, you know, that I don't really necessarily want that to change that much. I want guys to be able to, you know, obviously be able to come and talk to me, and I really want to continue to be there for the players. And I think that, you know, in this type of situation, like, I think that, you know, the respect and trust that I have for the players and they have in me is, you know, ultimately going to be big as I make this transition.
So, Joe, a question for you would be, is it possible that Tyler will have a special knowledge on how much a player can be pushed or what buttons can be pushed, game time situation and critical needs and stuff like that?
Oh, there's no question about it. He's been an incredibly valuable tool for us and for the whole program in that, you know, we see what we see, and we see the show that an athlete or an individual wants us to see. And but Tyler has the ability to give us the whole picture. You know, how hard that guy, you know, pushes himself. What is there a limit? Or is there no limit to where that athlete will go? Is, you know, are there barriers that will be really hard to help get through, or may never be able to get through, or there's no barriers and this individual's a wide open canvas that just wants to get better without, you know, like a Mitch Rehnke or somebody like that. Jay, just get me better. Just get me better. You know, I'll do whatever you guys want. We'll talk about it. I'll get you better. So, he sees that side of them and again, when you're pushing guys in the weight room, you're seeing the guys that'll be there, you know, in the third period of that game, you know, against somebody in the championship of the GLI or a playoff game or something like that. Who's, you know, you're down 2-0. What guys can you count on? And what guys have a, you know, kind of consistently don't go to the line? You know, what guys consistently will take it so far but won't go all the way? Because that, you do it in one aspect, then you do it, you know, where does that end? You know, you walk by stuff on the floor. Do you pick it up and put it in the garbage? Or do you, you know, walk by it and leave it for somebody else and things like that? So he knows those elements that we see what the athlete wants us to see. We see the facade that they want us to see until we really get to know them. He knows these guys and very quickly knows their, you know, how far they're willing to go and what limitations they have on themselves.
So, Tyler, obviously a lot of strengths coming into this. Are there any things that, you know, not worries, but concerns, you know, any part of your coaching game that you're kind of interested in, see how you're going to react and how you're going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, I think, you know, just seeing how, you know, how analytical Joe is, and even, you know, further that, like Chris Brooks, I think that actually becoming, you know, a student of the game and continuing to learn from that aspect is going to be, you know, that's probably where I'd like to continue to grow. And I think, you know, from a player development standpoint and, you know, a tactical standpoint, I that's where I can really, you know, think I can create differences in terms of like understanding like how to increase guys' skills and stuff like that. And then, like I said, going back to Coach Joe and Chris Brooks, like, those guys are, you know, amazing analytically. They've been around the game a long time, and, you know, I want to be able to learn from them and obviously get better in that aspect because, you know, they do a great job at that.
So, Tyler, when you started coaching as a strength and conditioning coach, is this something that's always kind of been in the back of your mind that you wanted to do?
You know what? Surprisingly, I kind of went full circle with it. You know, when I obviously retired from hockey, I was a little bit bruised and battered, and you know, I was kind of like, okay, I want to become a strength coach, and I just needed a little bit of time to actually kind of heal. And then 2 or 3 years into it, I started to, like, you know, get that mentality back where it's like, you know what, I want to be a hockey coach. I want to be in that. So I'd be lying if I said it was right away. You know, I always wanted to help our athletes. I always wanted to help Michigan Tech, but it wasn't until probably like my second or third year when I was like, it kind of started to come back to me, and I was like, you know what? Like, this is what I want to be in. Like, I want to, you know, I want to do it all. I want to be involved in that, you know, full aspect.
So I guess one of the big questions is, how has your golf game been this summer so far? Because I know you love golf.
You know what? I just kind of have the Bryson DeChambeau mentality, and I just swing as hard as I can. And for whatever reason, that seems to work for me. So I do that. But I will tell you that I am a very below average chipper, and my wedge game is pretty much non-existent. So nothing has changed since about 2004. So
we heard Coach talk about the Stanley Cup Finals and it being over last night with the win, 1-0 win by Tampa Bay. Did you watch, take in a lot of it? And what were your thoughts on the playoffs in general?
Yeah, I mean, playoffs were great. I mean, if you really look at Tampa, they're impressive. Like, everything they do, they're, you know, amazing at rotations and forecheck. Like, they always come back through the middle. It doesn't hurt that they have some, you know, pretty good players and Kucherov, and obviously Vasilevsky is a great goalie, but yeah, they were really good. You can always take a lot from them. I mean, you know, I know Joe and I were kind of talking because we were looking at Montreal's penalty kill, because Montreal's penalty kill at one point was, you know, it was phenomenal. They weren't getting scored in at all, and you're kind of like, I don't really know how, but, you know, it was good to be able to watch that and kind of like break that down and say, okay, like, you know, what do they have that's allowing them to have success? So I took a lot from it, and, you know, we'll continue to break it down and, you know, see what we can implement this upcoming season.
Tyler Shalas is with us, the newly appointed Michigan Tech assistant coach, starting now and going into next season. Tyler, take away the new position. Take away the excitement of that and the thrill of that. Has there ever been a Michigan Tech season that you're not playing in that you've been more excited to get going than this one coming up?
Oh, no, this is a big season. You know, you kind of look at where... You look at where our team is. We obviously have a very, you know, veteran team with a very good senior class, and then, you know, a lot of good players, obviously juniors, sophomores, and our freshmen coming in, and just potentially being able to have a normal season and to be able to really go after our goals is, I mean, there's just so much excitement with that, you know, I'm ready to go already. So we still have some time, but it's going to be great.
Tyler Shalas, the new assistant coach for Michigan Tech. Anything else, coach, for Tyler? Or?
I think Tyler's downplaying a little bit. I think when that year we started out 10-0, when we had, you know, seven outstanding defensemen and great goaltending and Jamie Phillips, and then you got, you know, you have four lines all that can score, and, you know, with so many great players, that there was excitement going into that year. There was I certainly knew we were going to be extremely, extremely good that year, and we do have that feeling this year as well, and it's going to be a good league. And you saw last year in some ways how the WCHA, how it was condensed without the Alaskas playing, and it was down to an 8-team league and more competitive in some ways day in, day out. You saw how it prepared. Finally, Mankato gets that first win in the national tournament, makes it to the Final Four. You got Bemidji who put a pretty good licking on Wisconsin in the first game of the NCAA tournament. I think it went 6-2 or something like that. You saw where that day in, day out competition made our league better. So I think there's very good things to come. Plus, we have a commissioner in Donnie Lucia who's extremely competitive in his own right and wants us to be the best as a league. So we're really excited.
Well, Tyler, congratulations again on your new position. Very excited. You know, we're excited for Dally for chasing his passion as well and everything that he did at Michigan Tech, but certainly exciting to have Tyler at the official assistant coach position, and looking forward to that. Tyler, thanks for being with us today. We really do appreciate it, and good luck this season, okay?
Thanks, Dirk. Appreciate it.
All right, Tyler Shalas, a new assistant coach for the Michigan Tech hockey team. We've got your questions coming up for head coach Joe Sean right after this on Mix 93 WKMJ. Hey, it's back to a Michigan Tech hockey update here on Mix 93 WKMJ with Joe Sean. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dirk.
Just trying to do the radio. Trying to do the radio thing and catch you off guard there.
Hey, Dirk.
All right. So we do have a few questions here for you, Coach. And it's one we kind of already talked about, but we can talk about it again. This question actually came in shortly after the last time we had you on for our Michigan Tech hockey update. And it says, Coach, my husband and I are always in the UP in October, bird hunting. We make reservations early in Houghton, hoping that home hockey games might be around, and we will we'll be at games on October 15th and 16th. Is there any chance of adding games either that first week in October 1st and 2nd or the 22nd and 23rd?
There is the first and second. I don't, what is our schedule for the 22nd, 23rd?
All right. So we
have around the road or home?
There's no games that weekend right now.
Okay. So yeah. So there, I would say no on that because of the fact that we're at our limit for games.
Oh, okay.
We're at our 34 limit.
But a chance on that first weekend
We're trying, yeah.
And that would only be one game, probably.
We have the exempt game with the development program, so we have room for one game, as does Northern, because how we're playing that is we're playing Notre Dame Friday on I believe, the 8th, and then Saturday the development program's coming in here for a game on the 9th. That game doesn't count against our 34. Friday night, the development program's playing Northern. Saturday, Notre Dame's going over and playing Northern. So they have the exempt game as well. So we're both one game short on our schedules, and that's why I'm trying to make that work out.
This question came in, Coach, after we talked to Tyler, but the question to Tyler was, had he ever been more excited about or anticipating a season as much as he is going into this year? Is that the same for you? Is there, since you've been here, is there a season that that you've had more anticipation for than this one coming up?
No, I think they're all the same for me, because you're looking at you're looking at what you feel you have to do and trying to put things together. Like, that's what we spend all our time on right now, is what, you know, what adjustments can we make with the personnel we have within our game to enhance our game. I mean, I look at last year. I was excited last year. We played great hockey last year. I think one game that I can think of, we weren't ready to play, and that was that first game at Bowling Green. Then the next night, penalties, they just got away from us. But we were really good last year. I mean, you look at score, I mean, we were really good. We didn't come out on top on games. And then you shake your head after a game and you say, man, what can we do different? You know, we're not giving up scoring chances. We're creating a lot of scoring chances. Like, what do we have to do? And I think it's just part of maturity and learning to win. And that's, we'll be looking for that this year. And that comes with confidence. And you can't just wave a wand on confidence. Confidence is earned. Trust is earned and cross the room with each other. And so we just have to continue to grow in that area.
Next question, Coach, is can both of you talk about the upgrades and improvements for television and radio coverage in the new CCHA mandates?
Well, yeah, that's actually a great point that you don't want to get overlooked. Our full credit to our prior management system administration within WCHA, but what I've seen, this is a different level of this league is operating right. I mean, the lead up to the grand opening was a grand opening in itself. You know what I mean? It was like putting the ending, the final blast off on the 4th of July fireworks at the beginning and then keeping it going all the way through. We've talked about the impact that the presence of an individual like Don Lucia brings to the program. I mean, I've known him back to Fairbanks, Alaska when he was an assistant coach way back in the day, way back in 1984, maybe 83, 84. I used to see him every Sunday night at church up at the Alaska Fairbanks. Anyways, very good man, very good family guy, and highly competitive, and has the ear of anybody. There's no one that if he makes a phone call to in the game of hockey, they aren't answering that phone. No one at any team, at any level, anywhere. Like, he brings that. He brings that component to the league. Then this Dominic Hennig that we have in our league was at Ferris State. And first of all, Ferris State puts out some tremendous people, not just coaches like Blaschel and those guys, and Lalonde who's with Tampa now,
yeah,
as an
pretty
assistant.
Cool, eh?
Not just that, not just players and coaches, but their staff, Perk, their athletic director, who's retiring and a good man, and little I've got to know, and I know how much trust Suzanne has with Perk Weisenberg, I believe his name is, his last name. I know him by Perk, but good man. He's retiring now and good luck to him. But that whole group from Bob Daniels all the way down develops great people. Dominic was with them. Dominic Hennig was with them, and you'd see him all the time. You'd hear about him. I don't know if he was a student or an SID, but he's a take charge. He's the type of guy. And he's doing our social media, and he's doing our presence, our marketing and everything like that, and how we present ourselves. And he's the type of guy that you have to pull back. You know what I mean? He's like a bird dog where, you've got these people on here who say they come up here bird hunting. Hopefully they have a dog. You know, that dog, everything in that dog wants to chase that bird. And you have to get that dog to come back a little bit to work with you. But he's always going to push it. You know, there's such drive in that. And Dominic's like that. I mean, it's almost like, Dominic, let's take small steps. But with that, with his goals, and with, for the league and perception, like he always says, every time I hear him, we have one shot at this. Let's do it right. We have one shot. And that goes to TV. And that goes to commercials. And that goes to game management. And that goes to making sure the nets look right. And, he put in a presentation where And we were one of the rinks where we had puck marks all over the boards. Mm-hmm. We can't have that, he said. When there's a picture taken and it gets put in a national publication, those boards need to be crisp. The logos need to be crisp. Everything needs to be crisp. You know, we need this level of lighting, this level of, it has to be within this range of whatever it is in lighting. I don't know, watt, it hertz, whatever it is. Illuminations, I don't know what it is, but it has to be in that level for TV purposes. You know, everything, you know, we have to have this many camera angles for our productions. We have to have this ability for a review of goals and video replay for television purposes. You know, we have to be linked. We want to be linked to both the home and the visitor's broadcast and have that linked in to the video so that people can call up. And when they get a game in Houghton, they're getting Dirk. You know what I mean? And, you know, on Flow Hockey or whatever it is. So with that, people can expect an immediate difference and a gradual increase in that production because the people are driven. They aren't just here for a job. They are, you know, they're driven with their name on it, and that's something you can't teach people. So when you hire people like that, you know, there'll be a demand, and we'll be doing everything we can at some point to keep these people on board. They do like Dean Thibodeau, I believe he's in our league office now too, did such a great job, really seemed to run our league office with the WCHA. So for that reason, I think that our administrator said, listen, keep that guy on, you know, like make sure that guy's some part of this because he makes us better.
A couple of other things that people will notice for sure in the rink and on the stream is that the officials, the referee, will be announcing penalties on microphone, which I always like in the NHL. I think people like to hear it actually from the referee when a call is made.
And they're making a room, an area for you, which, so you don't have to come down anymore, so that your interviews and things are being done.
Yeah, there will be pregame and intermission interviews with the home coaches.
And that's mandated by the league to have a spot that's decorated in a certain way with the logos in a certain way that has certain capabilities so that you can add to that broadcast and telecast. So those are all things that the league is doing that you sit back and don't have to drive as an individual school. You don't have to drive that. Again, in many ways, it's going to be, okay, let's phase this in financially over a period of time so that we can get to where we need to be.
Yeah, very exciting, and a good question there on some of the changes that are coming up, both in-house at Michigan Tech's John McGinnis, student Ice Rita, and on TV when you watch it on Flow Hockey as well. We do want to remind people, somebody just sent in a question, what was the situation again with the tickets? The tickets are on sale for Michigan Tech Hockey. Officially, I think yesterday was the first day. You can go to the Michigan Tech website. If you're a season ticket holder, you probably already got a letter. If not, it's on its way. And they are... they're very excited because they're already busy with season tickets. You had a chance to talk to Aaron up at the central ticket office, and tickets are now on sale. They do have some great twists as far as Rail 555, the Rail 555, and that will be some premium seating along the rail on the concourse inside the breakaway zone for only $481. And, of course, the 555 is a reference to John McGinnis's win total at Michigan Tech. And encourage people to get online as soon as you can, buyhuskiestickets.com, or give a call at the central ticket office, and that number again, 487-2073, I think it's, 2073 is the number. They are open from 8 until 5, Monday through Friday. All right, Joe. Well, hey, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for the update. You probably have, how's your camp going there?
It's going great. Yeah. It's going great. It's a work in progress. I'm a certified YouTube electrician, passed the rough and electrical inspection, got all the lights in, and I'm a certified YouTube plumber. We passed our plumbing inspection, so we got water running through the thing. So it's a lot of fun. I like doing those things.
You do.
A little bit of Dom Hennig probably in me too, and that's why I kind of gravitate a bit to his enthusiasm and his work ethic.
Coach, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Thanks to Tyler Shalas, the newly appointed assistant coach for Michigan Tech. And keep it right here on Mix 93 and on the Michigan Tech website, MichiganTechHuskies.com, for all of the details and the next time that we have Joe in our studio. Thanks, Joe.
Great. Thanks, Dirk.
All right. That is Michigan Tech Hockey Update with head coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93 WKMJ.